helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. The first Chief Justice of the United States, John Jay, foresaw that there would be attacks on our rights. He also told us how to protect ourselves against those attacks. He said, every member of the state ought diligently to read and to study the Constitution of his country and teach the rising generation to be free. By knowing their rights, they will sooner perceive when they are violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. Let's see if Mr. Jay's advice can help us today. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. You know, I'm glad you could join me today. As I was assembling today's program, as I was putting together the articles and content I wanted to put in here, I kept being reminded of, well, just how collapsed the concepts of rights and freedom have fallen, how bad things have gotten. I mean, you think about George Orwell in 1984. I think it's actually gotten worse than that. I'm staring at a group of articles that involve tyranny and despotism, and I see the American people doing nothing. It makes me think of Russia during the Bolshevik Revolution, or China during the Cultural Revolution, where, at least in those cases, the use of arms was much more aggressive than there are today here in America, but we are falling for the same destruction. It's almost as if the concepts of freedom and liberty are alien to the American people. I mean, we talk about them, but it doesn't seem like we live by them. And I think I have an understanding, an idea of why. And I want you to follow me in this before I get to those articles. See, look at what Mr. Jay recommended. He said, every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of his country. Teach the rising generation to be free. How long has it been since they actually taught the Constitution in high school? How long since they taught it in law school? How long since people actually knew what the Constitution actually said? I have to wonder. You know, I post videos and I post articles and I do and podcasts, and the number of comments I get and responses and people ask me questions that show they don't have a clue what the Constitution actually says. I'm not talking about an interpretation. I'm talking the actual language of the Constitution. I mean, I had one today where someone, although they didn't specifically say it, they implied that any search is a violation of the Fourth Amendment, not a question of reasonableness. So I think we don't understand what the Constitution says because you don't spend time reading and studying it. We certainly haven't bothered teaching the rising generation to be free. We weren't taught to be free. I freely admit, now granted, I went to school mostly in the 1970s. I learned more about the Constitution from Saturday morning cartoons than I did in 12 years of government-run education. So I was not taught to be free by government because government doesn't want me to be free. And I wasn't taught to be free by my parents because they were told that everything I needed to learn would be taught to me by government. Probably because that's the way they were taught. But why is it so important? I mean, oh, it's just the Constitution, Paul. Why does it matter? Well, look at the second half of Mr. Jay's statement. He says, by knowing their rights. See, he directly correlates reading and studying the Constitution with knowing your rights. How important is that? He says, by knowing their rights, they will sooner perceive when they are violated. Wow. I understand his statement. After spending time reading and studying the Constitution, yes, I quickly see rights being violated all around me. And I see people everywhere from Well, we know it's wrong, but what are you going to do? To completely clueless of the deprivation of rights that they are suffering. So by knowing their rights, they'll sooner perceive when they are violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. And I think that, intentional or otherwise, was really the goal. See, if you don't read and study the Constitution, you don't really understand your rights. If you don't understand them, you don't perceive when they are violated, and you certainly are not prepared to defend and assert them. So I want to take some time today, and I want to look at some of these examples with that mindset, all right? Can we recognize, can we perceive when our rights are being violated, and how do you prepare to defend and assert them in those situations? And I'll give you a fair warning, the answer is going to be fairly repetitive. It's going to be a read and study of the Constitution. But that's, I'll put it in context as we go through each of these situations. So I found this article, and it deals with the aftermath of a policy proposal put forth by the Federal Department of Transportation. They wanted the on-demand law enforcement surveillance of commercial vehicles. Now, there were some people that were not very happy about that. It took about 6 months for the Department of Transportation to turn over the records that were requested by a FOIA lawsuit. In other words, they filed a FOIA request, and apparently they didn't respond, so they sued, and a court compelled their release. 6 months later, a day before they were due in court, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, they had no indication about whether or not they would make this a final rule or not. Now, apparently, the FMCSA had some internal conversations about some of the public comments over these several months, some via email, but they kept stalling the FOIA request. And specifically for its communications about the constitutional implications of electronically tracking that was part of the proposed rulemaking. So now that they've finally turned over this 500-page report, what can you learn from it? Practically nothing. You see, all but 30 pages of this data is redacted. They called it as an exemption for deliberative process privileges, saying, hey, we were talking among ourselves, you don't get to see it. Now, there's a lot going on here. So let me start with this. The U.S. Department of Transportation. You see, we have a right when we establish the government to determine the limits on federal power. The 10th Amendment clearly states powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution belong either to the states or to the people. And look all you want, regulating transportation is not a power delegated to the United States. They can regulate interstate commerce, but the DOT doesn't regulate commerce. It regulates transportation. So we have there's right number one. Right number two, everybody in government is a public servant. They are an employee of the people. Whether they're elected by the people or they're appointed by those elected by the people, or they work either for the people elected by the people or their appointees, they work for us. Everything they do. When you go to work for a company, if it's anything creative, you sign a document that says, anything I create belongs to the company. Anything these people create in the DOT, in the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, all of it is ours. These are our public records. We have every right to know what our entities are doing. The deliberative process should not be hidden from the people. Now, if you have a national security exception, as long as it's strongly enforced, but this idea that, oh no, we can do stuff in your name and we don't have to tell you, is a violation of our rights. It's a violation of, we created you. You're our, effectively, not as a person, but as an entity, that's our property. And you cannot deprive us of the control of our property without due process of law. Fifth Amendment. So now we have an illegal agency. By the way, and these rules that they're putting in place, they're not law. First of all, they're not the supreme law of the land, right? Because if you go to Article 6, Clause 2, the supreme law of the land is the Constitution, the laws of the United States made in pursuance thereof, and the treaties made or shall be made under the authority of the United States, which is created by the Constitution. So you have an agency that doesn't legally exist making rules that are not made pursuant to the Constitution. You see, all legislative, all lawmaking power is vested in Congress. No entity outside of Congress can make a law. Period. I know people yell and scream. No, the Constitution's quite clear. So what we have here is an illegal agency embezzling billions of dollars from the American people to create different groups inside it that are creating rules that are not laws, and then hiding the details behind it from the American public. What do? I have a simple answer. It's not going to be an easy answer. I have a simple answer. We need to start hiring people to defund the U.S. Department of Transportation. First, you defund it, then you dismantle it. For the very simple reason of, it is unconstitutional. But Paul, the courts have said, I don't care. Go back to the supreme law of the land. Do you know what's not listed among the supreme law of the land? The decision of a court. In fact, the judges are bound to the Constitution, not the other way around. See, it's not easy. None of these things are going to be easy. But the answer is really pretty simple. So how do you defend your rights? How do you assert your rights in these situations? The answer is real simple. Again, not easy, but simple. How many of you are in communication with your representative in Congress? Both your representative and your senators. How many? My guess would be almost none of you. How many of you have pointed out that, guess what, the Department of Transportation was never legally created because its existence violates the Constitution. It is therefore void. By the way, Jim, not my words. Alexander Hamilton, Federalist Paper 78. And at least three Supreme Court cases confirm that. Confirm the statement that from the Constitution says an act that is unconstitutional is void. Kind of simple. Now, do I think that me walking into my representative's office saying the DOT is unconstitutional mean it's going to disappear? Mean these rules are going to disappear? Mean the unconstitutional acts are going to disappear? No. Which is why the next thing we have to do, how many of your governors and state legislators have read and studied the Constitution? They took an oath to support it. How many have actually read it? How many of them are willing to stand up and saying, no, you cannot track motor vehicles that are in our state because you don't have the legal authority to? The Department of Transportation set a rule. I don't care. You're not authorized. This isn't regulating commerce. This is regulating transportation. You're not authorized to regulate transportation. That means that act is void. And within the states, we're just going to ignore it. Problem is, most states are afraid. Why are people in our state legislatures afraid? Well, two reasons. One is they've been trained probably throughout their life that the federal government can do whatever it wants. Whatever the Congress says, they can do. That's a lie. They've been taught that states are vassals to the federal government. That's a lie. You read and study the Constitution, you understand, guess what? Only laws made pursuant to the Constitution of the supreme law of the land. That it was the states that established the federal government and established its limited powers. And only the states have the legal authority to change those powers. Not Congress, not the courts, not the president, only the states. Article 5. You cannot change a power You cannot change the Constitution except by ratification of the states. See, if we bothered to read instead of the Constitution, we would know these things. We would have recognized the infringement on our rights that the Federal Department of Transportation was when it was created, and we could have stood up then and dealt with it a lot easier. But since we didn't, we now have a big pile of dung that we have to deal with. But unless we start dealing with it, this pile is only going to get larger and smellier. So it's true, our rights, our liberties are under attack, and not just by government. There are plenty of businesses and corporations that are actually funding those who are trying to take away our rights. Don't help. Don't use your money to take away your right to live free. Join the only Christian conservative wireless provider. Use your cell phone to defend your rights and your rights of your family, including the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Switch to Patriot Mobile now and get free activation with the code Constitution. Go to patriotmobile.com/constitution. Find a plan that works for you. They run on all the same towers as the national carriers. You get great coverage with the network that works best for you. Their 100% U.S.-based customer support are great to deal with. And they have pretty good price plans as well. So again, go to patriotmobile.com/constitution. Find a plan that works for you. Be sure to use the promo code Constitution when you check out to get free activation. Now, if this discussion about reading and studying the Constitution, knowing your rights, defending and asserting, if that has, tickled your fancy, if that's got you interested, do me a favor. Head to the Patriots program, constitutionstudy.com/patriots. This program is designed to help us all work together to save our rights, defend our and assert our own rights. It's an invitation-only program. So you start with a boot camp. It's online. It's free. And you take the boot camp, you pass the test, and you'll receive an invitation to join us here at the Patriots program. We're doing studying and education. We're working on communication. And we're working on activation. How do we respond to these events that are attempting to infringe on our rights? So again, find out more, go to constitutionstudy.com/patriots and share that information. Learn more about how to defend and assert your rights. We'll talk more about that after this break.
Million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today, well, we're talking about how do we protect our rights? How do we protect our rights right here in America? And believe it or not, our answer comes from the 18th century. See, our first Chief Justice, John Jay, said we should read and study the Constitution so that we can recognize when our rights are being violated and be prepared to defend and assert them. Now, when we left the first segment, we were talking about the Department of Transportation trying to basically track the trucks without a warrant. Just, you know, hey, you know, we want this and let us happen, and they're hiding information from us. There's more with trucks, though. They're trying to get rid of diesel trucks. So we have the Environmental Protection Agency. Guess what? Another agency that does not legally exist. Promulgating rules and regulations that are not law in an attempt to destroy the trucking industry by claiming they have the authority to make requirements they don't. That's the interesting thing. When you read instead of the, when you learn a little bit about the Constitution, you can see past all of the nonsense. See, I find it very interesting how many people are debating and talking about, you know, would the EPA regulations, would they be effective? What would be the impact on the economy? Would be in the impact on the trucking industry? How would that impact prices? How about the fact that the federal government has no legal authority, that this is all a sham? How many of you have watched The Wizard of Oz? You know, when the Dorothy and the Tin Man, everybody, they go in to the palace of Oz and they see this big head, the great and powerful Oz, and they're terrified. They're oh my God, what are we going to do? Until Toto runs up and pulls back the curtain. And all you see is a doddering old man, well, or maybe not doddering, playing with levers and dials and switches, saying, pay no attention to this. Look at the big scary head over there. That's kind of what the federal government does, right? They don't want us to look and say, the EPA has no power. The EPA has no legal, legitimate power. None of the regulations have the force of law. Only because we've been told that they will treat it that way does it actually happen. So when these car companies decide they're going to follow these regulations, even though they're not legally binding, what do we do? That's, to me, is the biggest problem is since we are universally ignorant of the Constitution, we don't know what to do. And the answer really is we need to figure something out. So you need to decide what is more important, your rights, your freedoms, or just getting along. I'm not saying you have to be an idiot. I'm not saying you have to be a separatist or one of these, you know, anti-government militia organizations. I'm saying you need to understand the Constitution and be prepared to defend yourself against its infringements. You see, the car manufacturers, they have no good reason to not bow down to these illegal regulations. What's going to be the benefit? The federal government's going to sue them. Why? Because they're a big, fat, juicy target. Why bother? Why go through the pain? Well, the answer is kind of simple. Because the corporations are more afraid of the federal government than they are of their stockholders. See, if the stockholders actually stood up and said, no, you can't do that. You do that and you're fired. The board, gone. But they say, but Paul, it's the law. No, it's not the law. Again, Congress didn't have the legal authority to create the EPA. It's not a power delegated to the United States. Therefore, the law that created it is not only not the supreme law of the land, it is void, which means EPA is embezzling billions of your dollars to make regulations that are not law because they were not made pursuant to the Constitution, because they were not made by Congress, within the powers delegated to them by the Constitution. That means they're void. Do you see how this understanding, this basic reading of the Constitution shows just how paper thin the powers of the federal government are? How about the states turn around and say, guess what? Since Congress only has the power to regulate interstate commerce, not the environment, here's what we're going to do. If you assemble a truck in our within our borders and sell it within our borders, then it is not subject to any of these crazy rules and regulations from the federal government, because the federal government has no authority over transportation, not within the state, only commerce. So if you build it here and you sell it here, forget all those rules. You want to build diesel trucks to your heart's content. Now, states are terrified of this. One, because it would gain a lot of attention and get a lot of pushback from, well, the federal government. We're going to talk more about some of that pushback a little later, but I understand it's a scary thing to do. But guess what? If we actually bought stock in these trucking companies, in the companies that make these, we could vote on their plans and policies. We could vote on their board members. We could require board members that understand what the Constitution actually says. Again, it's not a quick fix, but it's one we should be looking at long term. Because if you think this is going to go away after the next election, it ain't happening. This has been a long term problem. We need a long term solution, and part of it means making sure those corporations understand their responsibilities under the law, not under what the federal government says, under the actual law. And make sure they're more afraid of us than they are of the man behind the curtain, or at least the metaphorical man behind the curtain. Because everyone's staying behind, it's like, oh, the FBI is going to come after you. The FBI is nothing but an illusion. I don't mean they don't exist, right? The enforcement of federal law. But most of the stuff they do, you don't have to comply. I talked yesterday about an incident where the FBI showed up to talk to someone about social media posts. And this lady, she videoed it, and we talked about it. There are two more that just popped up, where the FBI shows up and said, well, they said they didn't do anything illegal, but they need to talk to them about their social media posts. You know what your answer to that should be? No. Go away. If you refuse to leave, I'll call the police and have you arrested for trespass. You don't have to talk to the FBI. If the FBI breaks into your home without a warrant, guess what? Not only can you sue the FBI, I'd push for criminal charges. Now, granted, do you really expect the current state of the DOJ to actually charge a member of the FBI for a crime? Not likely, but I can still push. I've told the story before where I had two FBI agents come to my door. Now, these gentlemen were professional, and I keep repeating that because the FBI has earned a pretty bad reputation. These two gentlemen did not. They called me beforehand. They told me why they wanted to speak to me. They made an appointment. They showed up. They were serving a subpoena. They did so. Everything was cordial. Everything was fine. When they started asking questions about the farm I live on, I simply told them, I don't get chatty with law enforcement. They said, we understand. Thank you very much. Got in their vehicles and left. FBI shows up to have a conversation with you? Just say no. If you look at some of the advice from lawyers you'll find online, don't even open the door. What are we here for? We want to have a conversation with you about something. No. It's real simple. And then just keep your mouth shut. Like I said, you might want to say, listen, if you don't leave, I'm going to call the police and have you trespassed. And if they don't leave, call 911. Say you have armed trespassers on your property. You'll probably get a lot of attention. Now, this will help if it would help if, like me, you've gone to your local law enforcement agency and had a discussion beforehand. For me, it's a county sheriff. Said, hey, you protect my rights. I want to make sure that the deputies know their job is to protect the rights of everyone involved. When I call 911 and I have armed trespassers, if it's the FBI, they're trespassing. Arrest them. Escort them off my property or arrest them. But you don't have to talk to the FBI. And I don't care why they want to talk to you. Now, listen, if they acted like the FBI agents I dealt with, they contacted you ahead of time. They made an appointment to discuss something that you found relevant. That's your decision. However, I don't sit and chat with law enforcement, not just the FBI. You've got to have a good reason to ask for me to have a conversation with me. And my social media posts are none of your business. And in fact, I might turn around and say, which post? Because I need to know so that I can file a 1983 action. I can sue you for illegal searches. Why are you searching my social media post? What probable cause do you have that I violated any law? See, that comes from studying the Constitution. I know I have a right to be secure from unreasonable searches. They've got to have a reason, hence the probable cause. I know that I have a right to not be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process, that's the Fifth Amendment. I understand that, and I can apply that there. I also have a right against being a self-witness, meaning I don't have to talk to you about anything I've said or done, ever, period. If you're talking about a criminal investigation, no. But let's back up to something here. This is now three instances of the FBI approaching people, what they call them knock and talks, because specifically saying they have not done anything illegal in these posts. They want to have a conversation about them. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, that is a violation of the First Amendment. If you're trying to restrict my press, what I've printed, what I've posted, that's a violation of the First Amendment. Why are you having a conversation? What is the purpose of the conversation? What makes it relevant? What makes it reasonable? Nothing. This is why, in fact, here's an idea. You want to get images, if you can. You want to record the interaction. You want to get images of their identification. So you can inform them, do you realize that you are committing a federal crime now? 18 U.S.C. Section 242. There's more than one of them. It's 241, conspiracy. You see, you're coming here, you want to have a conversation about my social media activity. Not that I've committed a crime. Not that I've violated any of the law. You already told me that I've done nothing illegal. I've done nothing wrong. But you want to talk to me. That, sir or ma'am, is too damn bad. You are now harassing me. You're coming to my home to have a discussion. I now told you I don't want. And push. See, they get away with it because most people are afraid of the FBI. Okay, I can see reasonable to be afraid of the FBI. But when you read the Constitution and you realize, no, they're the ones with all the restrictions. You don't have the restrictions. They have the restrictions. They're the ones violating the law. They're the ones searching without a probable cause. They're the ones questioning your freedom of press. They're the ones breaking the law. You document it and then you file a case. In fact, I'd love to have an attorney come and join me on my Patriots program. How do you write up a criminal complaint? How do you file a criminal complaint in a federal jurisdiction? Because that's what I want to have done. I want to start pushing back. Again, do I think that suddenly, you know, the DOJ is going to become pure as a wind-driven snow? Oh, no. But how do you tell them you're not afraid of them? By standing up and saying, no, we don't do this. We don't allow you to intimidate us. You've broken the law, not me. Now I have evidence, and now we should pursue it. And in fact, maybe getting in touch with your state's attorney general might be a good point of view, a good thing to do as well. And if you have any reasonable suggestions, hey, post comments when this hits the website, when the show page hits the website, post comments, let me know. Because I don't have all the answers. There are a lot of things I haven't thought of. And it's by exchanging this information, I think we can come to, well, maybe a better way to protect our rights, to look at things from different directions. It's one of the things I love here at the Constitution Study is the willingness to say, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I missed something, to listen to other points of view, because ultimately what we want is we want to protect our rights. We want to protect our liberties. We want to live our lives as we see fit, not controlled by others, except as necessary for the safety of society. Now, one thing maybe I can help you control is your sleep. If you're tired of being tired, if you're one of those people that just have a hard time sleeping, well, I have found the only sleep supplement that supports all four stages of sleep. Helps you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed. When I travel, I often don't sleep very well, which is why I throw these in my bag because they help me sleep. It's called REM sleep from Healthy Cell, and it's vitamins, it's supplements. It's not drugs, it's not hormones. You can find out more about REM sleep at AmericaOutloud.shop. But here's the deal. As an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order just by using the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So again, head to AmericaOutloud.shop. Check out the ad on REM sleep and give it a try, but be sure to use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. You'll get 25% off your first order from Healthy Cell. While you're at it, maybe head over to AmericaOutloud.newsdaily to find out what's going on, to get different points of views on everything that's happening. But do me a favor, take the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos, the things that you find important and share them. You see, liberty and information are not things we should keep to ourselves. And by sharing this information, we help secure the blessings of liberty.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Now, George Washington once encouraged us to animate and encourage each other and show the whole world that a free man contending for liberty on his own ground is superior to any slavish mercenary on earth. That's exactly what we do, as you'll see when you visit AmericaOutloud.news. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes.
Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. Today, we're looking at keys to protecting our rights here in America. We spent two segments talking about different things going on at the federal level. I want to take a look at a couple of state things and see what we can learn. See what we can find out that maybe help protect our rights. Because let's face it, the federal government isn't the only one out to get us. Let's see, the California Public Utility Commission issued a proposal back on March 27th. And they're trying to put into effect a new law that's actually supposed to go into effect in the next couple of years. And what they want to do is in California, they want to charge your electricity based on your annual income. Now, think about this. Imagine going to the gas station and you know, you look at the pump and it says, you know, so much for this brand or for this octane and so much for that octane. Maybe they have, you know, one price for cash, one price for credit. Imagine you walk up and the thing asks you, what's your annual income? Oh, if you do that, we're going to charge X. Oh, if you make under $100,000 a year, we're going to charge you. Well, it's California, so let's say $4.50 a gallon. You make between $150,000 and $200,000, we're going to charge you $4.60 a gallon. You make over $200,000, we're going to charge you $5 a gallon. How long do you think that would last where people would be up in arms? Well, I'm wondering because that's exactly what the California lawmakers want to do when it comes to your electricity. It's this twisted idea of fair. See, to certain people, fair means everybody is just as miserable. And if you're not as miserable as your neighbor, well, then we got to make you more miserable. At least that's what it seems to be. Now, listen. Electricity has a certain cost to produce it. It has a certain cost to distribute it. And you put in a reasonable profit for the power company, and that should be the price of electricity. What this is nothing but greed and envy. Greed and envy, that's it. They want to charge you more because they think you're too successful. And, I just find that evil. But they have another problem. You see, how do you determine someone's income level? You know, you buy a house, maybe you have a certain salary. As you apply to get electrical service, they ask you, how much do you make? You answer the question, are they going to do a credit check on you and find out? Are they going to search the IRS to see what your stated income is? They ran into a problem. So here's what the California Public Utilities Commission, this is their suggestion. See, rather than basing it strictly on income, they want to base it on the subsidy programs you would qualify for. I also find that interesting. Not the programs that you're in, the programs that you would qualify for. And the idea being is, okay, we're going to charge you a high rate, but if you're qualified for certain programs, well, then we're going to drop your electricity rate. I don't know about you, but that just sounds dangerous. All right, because think about it. There are certain circumstances where someone might say, well, you qualify for this program. Hey, you qualify for the program and we'll give you reduced electricity rates, which basically means you now have to tell the power company, I can qualify for this program. I have to basically, even if I don't accept it, I have to apply to this program to get qualification to show to the power company that I can get a discount. This, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know why you would stay in California. I have no idea. Because what you have is you have California shooting themselves in the foot, making utility bills incredibly expensive. Now they're coming up with twisted ways to decrease the cost for certain people because, well, we want to make them less miserable by making other people more miserable. And this is their idea. And you wonder why your power bill is so high. You see, California made a mess of their power infrastructure and their power generation, and now they're paying the price. And instead of saying, you know what, we made mistakes, how about we put in place the things that, how about we roll back the things that made our electricity so high? No. We're just going to punish other people for our mistakes. Now, this one, I'm sorry, I don't have a good, constitutional answer for this one. On the one hand, you could talk about equal protection under the law, under the 14th Amendment, saying that when California passed a law that said we're going to charge people different rates based on their income, that's not equal protection under the law. It's not the greatest argument, but maybe it's one. To me, though, the best answer would be, how do I get power somewhere else? Do I start running generators in backyards to provide electricity because California's gotten so stupid with how they are regulating power? And again, not regulating power to protect the consumer from fraud, regulating power to coerce people to do things the way the elites in California want it done. Again, just another example of California being crazy and not worried and trying to become the collectivist, progressive, communist, Marxist dystopia we've seen throughout history. And they keep doing it. And what are you going to do? Unless the people in California revolt and start saying, if you voted for this nonsense, you're out, there's nothing you can do. Individually, the only thing you do is find another way to get power, something that doesn't involve the state of California. Maybe that means leaving California. Maybe that means setting up a generator in the backyard. But if we don't starve these crazy governments of power, they're just going to find another way to come after your rights. Now, that doesn't mean that everything going on in the states is crazy. The Louisiana State Senate recently passed a bill, it's now over in the House, that says, you know, these global entities that are trying to take over the world, yet they have no authority within the state of Louisiana. Yeah, this is SB 133. And in it, we find the World Health Organization, United Nations, and the World Economic Forum shall have no jurisdiction or power within the state of Louisiana. No rule, regulation, fee, tax, policy, or mandate of any kind of the World Health Organization, United Nations, and the World Economic Forum shall be enforced or implemented by the state of Louisiana or any agency, department, board, commission, public subdivision, government entity of the state, parish, municipality, or any other political entity. I kind of like that. Pretty short, pretty to the point, and basically tells to these international organizations, go fly a kite. But Paul, the treaty clause. The Supremacy Clause says that treaties made under the authority of the United States. The public health, not a power delegated to the United States, so the United States has no authority to make a treaty regarding public health. General economy, same thing. No power generated, no power delegated to the United States. Therefore, this is not the World Health World Economic Forum is not part of a treaty under the United States. Same with the United Nations. And if they pass a treaty with these organizations, well, the United Nations form by treaty to which the United States is a member, but it's only limited to the powers delegated to the United States. Anything else is not the law of the land here in the United States. So Louisiana stands up and says, fine, go pound sand. Whatever you do, you have no jurisdiction. WHO, you want to tell us when there's a health emergency? go pound sand. You have no jurisdiction. You have no power within Louisiana. I love this. You cannot make up rules, regulations, taxes, policies, mandates. You can't. Not here in Louisiana. They shall not be enforced. They shall not be implemented by the state of Louisiana or any of its agencies or departments. The answer is no. And that short word is so important. Just as I said, the FBI shows up. We want to talk to you about your social media posts. No. World Health Organization, we're declaring a health emergency. No. World Economic Forum, where it said we want to go all to digital, you know, central bank digital currencies. No. Just say no. Now, if you live in Louisiana, please reach out to your state senators and say, hey, did you vote for this? If so, good. If not, why not? Reach out to your members of the House and ask, are you supporting this or not? And if not, why not? In other words, reward those who support this and ask why those who oppose this. Because this is important. This is the state of Louisiana saying, hey, we're not playing these games anymore. We're not pretending the federal government can tell us that we need to follow the rule of an entity that has no legal authority within the United States. The World Health Organization has no legal authority within the United States, neither does the United Nations or the World Economic Forum. And just look at how much time and attention we have spent on these agencies, on these organizations that have no legal authority in the United States. See, when Louisiana, if the House passes, it gets signed by the governor. They're not simply saying no to the WHO, the United Nations, and the world, and the WEF. They're saying no to Washington, D.C. No. You don't have the authority to sell our sovereignty to foreign entities. No. You don't have the power to tax us based on the rules of foreign entities. No. And Nancy Reagan said, when it comes to drugs, just say no. It's time the American people learn these words, that our states learn these words, and that those who are coming for our rights and our liberties learn the impact of these words. And that truly is the epiphany I had as I've been reading and studying the Constitution. It came to me, again, several years ago, but it keeps getting reinforced. The ability of the American people to just say no. To recognize that the constitutions of most of our states specifically state that all power is inherent in the people. That we delegate power to governments to work for us, not to be our masters. That they are our servants. To have the knowledge to then support those in law enforcement encounters, in legal issues, or even when dealing with politicians. To recognize the power of no. And then learn where to use it. Everyone's going to be different. We have different tolerances. We have different priorities. What I would put up with will be different from what you put up with. And what I will stand up for may be different from what you stand up for. But isn't that the point of John Jay's quote? That by knowing our rights, we'll be prepared to defend and assert them. And that's the problem. We don't prepare to defend our rights. We keep waiting for someone else to do it for us. That's subjugation. Prepare to defend your rights. I'm not saying it's always going to work out your way. But if you're prepared, then you stand a better chance. To assert your rights. You know what? It doesn't always work. But are you prepared? See, that's what I see as a problem. So many people are willing to stand up, but they haven't prepared themselves to defend and assert their rights. More people are standing up and saying no. More people are leaving these communist states. More people are pushing back on these illegal searches. But they haven't really prepared themselves. I frequently see it when people have a good case, but haven't prepared to defend those rights. In other words, they have a case that their rights have been violated, but they're often basing it on misunderstandings of the Constitution or assumptions they have made. Let's take some time to prepare, and that starts by reading and studying the Constitution. It's what we do here at the Constitution Study. You can always find out more at the website, constitutionstudy.com. And yes, if you have a question, please ask. There's an Ask a Question button right there on the homepage. By the way, if you check the box you'd like me to answer on the radio, I'd be more than happy to. I love it. In fact, I'm trying to put together a Q&A segment, but I need more questions. So head to constitutionstudy.com and click Ask a Question. Give me your name, your question, and we'll do our best to answer it right here for you and for everyone. Because there are people that listen. I'm amazed sometimes at the number of people that listen to this program. And I hope you'll come back and join us. We're on every Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. We also get a lot of listeners on podcasts. Now, typically, the episodes go to podcasts a couple days after they're heard on the radio. But you can listen to them anytime and on your favorite podcast app. But do me a favor, subscribe to the app, subscribe to the feed, to the show. Leave the episodes ratings and reviews. It's how other people find the Constitution Study. Maybe they see it in a search, or maybe they're talking to friends and it comes up. You can help them find the Constitution Study. All the links you need can be found at the homepage at americaoutloud.news. But please, I'm asking you to share this information. I say it all the time. Knowledge is not power until it is put into action. And the action I'm asking you to do is to share this information, to share those links, the link to the show, the link to the podcast, the link maybe to your favorite episode. It is the act of sharing that takes this from simply participating for yourself and helping to share something much more important, to share the blessings of liberty we claim to care for so much. So enjoy, but share those blessings of liberty.